The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The center can be reached for halachic services, consultations, and shilas at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Milo Daf Yudal. The Gemara talks about the inyan of Yudulei Hektish, things that grow out of something that's Hektish. I saw the Achroinim, they bring in this idea of Gedulei Hektish to Paskin Shilas came up in the good old days when clear Nisim still happened, that people, let's say two Shutfim, have items that belong to Shutfus, and all of a sudden they find that there was a nace, and there's more things than they expected to find. So the Achrenim discussed this question: do we consider it to be Gedulei Shutfus, that it grew out of the Shutfus, or do we say that it belongs to the person that the items were found in his Rishos because he was kainet with Chatzar? Or no, we say that since it grew out of the things of Shutfus, Mamela, it should belong to the Shutfus. And they discuss whether or not something that grows b'derech neis would be considered gedulim or not. Shalim, I'm not going into that now. I want to discuss a case that's more relevant now. It's a story somebody once asked me about, which is similar, but probably not b'derech neis, but something else happened over here. Basically, what happened was that there seems to be an industry that has developed. I don't know if it's such a kosher industry. I'm not sanctioning this industry at all. But it seems that people buy things from, let's say, stores, let's say Best Buy. They buy, when there's items on sale, they buy a whole bunch of items. And they then sell it to somebody who's probably buying the shlichus of somebody who's selling it on Amazon. And the person who sells on Amazon waits until the sale is over, the prices are a little bit higher, and he makes a profit because he got these items on sale. And they send out a lot of people to buy items from Best Buy. Let's say they have a certain thing on sale, so they'll send out a whole bunch of people to buy from Best Buy. Best Buy won't let one guy buy up a large quantity of merchandise, but if a number of people come, then Best Buy will sell them. So they have a number of agents going around buying things for them. Which I don't know if it's such a kosher thing. It seems to be taking advantage of the situation of the sale in a way that Best Buy doesn't want them to take advantage of it, but I'm not going to discuss that. What happened basically was that a fellow asked me the following question. He said he buys from, let's say, it was Best Buy in this case. He ordered many, many items, and they were coming, they didn't all come in one shot. They came in a number of different shipments. And he kept them in his house, and then one day he brought them over to the person who asked him for these items. He made a count, he knew how many items there were, and he didn't bring them all at one time either. He brought them in a few shifts. Fine, so one of the times that he brought the items over to the guy who asked him to buy them, let's call the guy who's actually purchasing it from Best Buy, we'll call him Reuven, and the guy who's selling it on Amazon, we'll call Shimon. So Reuven brings it over to Shimon's warehouse. Shimon's employee is over there in the warehouse. Reuven gives him a box full of items. And he tells him, look, I'm in a rush, I gotta pick up my kids from the babysitter. You count it, this is the number that I think of how many units there are over here. You count them, just make sure that it's the right number. So he calls the guy up later, he calls up this employee, the employee says, I found 10 extra items. 10 more than you thought. Reuven says, that's impossible, it can't be. There weren't 10 extra, I know for sure how many are in a box, I filled up every box, I brought a certain number of boxes, it can't be that there's 10 extra. Impossible. So he tells the manager of the place, you count your inventory, see what's going on with your inventory. The manager came back and he said there's 6 extra things in the inventory. An entire warehouse is 6 things that were not accounted for. Okay, it seems very strange to Reuven. He's 100% sure there weren't 6 things either. But then, at the end of this whole buying spree, when he was buying this specific item, it turns out that Reuven is actually missing one. There's one item that's missing. He doesn't know where that item is. It's possible in his mind that there was one extra unit in that shipment that he didn't personally count when he delivered to the warehouse. He thinks that could be. It can't be that there's 10, it can't be that there's 6. It could be that there's one extra unit. So Reuven wants to know like this. He says, I'm not taking money for the 10, I'm not taking money for the 6. I know for sure that those things were not included in my delivery. However, I want to know, can I accept payment for that one extra item, which the worker would have to be happy to pay them for, because it's actually 6 extra unaccounted for items. And the worker does not want to go back to the owner and tell him the whole story, because the owner is going to say, there's something fishy over here in the warehouse. There's 10, 6, 1, what's going on over here? The owner's gonna fire the worker possibly. So the worker doesn't want to go back to the owner and tell him about this. Reuven wants to know, can he accept payment from the worker without the worker going back and consulting with the owner? So the first thing that came to my mind is that the halacha is that when you have a shlish, when let's say you have any kind of transaction between Reuven and Shimon, and they appoint Levi as a shlish. They say, look, we're going to hand over the documents to Levi. And Levi, so the assumption is that Levi has nemanus, he's believed more than Edom, to say what the conditions were. And this would, so this concept of shlish, I think, and it's pretty clear to me, would apply also to the guy's worker. A guy has a worker in his warehouse. So if the worker says a certain thing, if a worker admits that he was given 10 extra units, that would be considered like hoidas baldin of Shimon, the employer. Because the worker is considered a shlish. He's the person that actually has control over the items. He's working in the warehouse. He's able to do whatever he wants with these items. So the parties trust this shlish, and whatever the shlish says, they accept more than Edom. So if we analyze the situation in that kind of way, it would seem that our case would be as follows, that Reuven is saying, I'm moide that I did not give more than one extra. I'm moide there were not 10, there were not 6, maybe 1. So he says, for sure not, the 9 not, but perhaps one extra item I did give. And Shimon's employee, and by extension Shimon is being moide, that I got 10 extra items. And even if you say, okay, they checked it over again, but at least 6. But really the hoida of Shimon is on the 10 extra items that the poil, the employee, said at the time. I counted the items and I found 10 extra items. So it's like das baldin, that there's an extra 10 items. And therefore, so even though Reuven's moide that 9 of the items are not true, that the employee is lying about them. But look, if you have such a situation where Reuven says, I'm moide that you owe me, that you don't owe me $1,000. I'm moide that, but maybe $100 you owe me. And Shimon says, I'm moide I owe you $1,000. So look, we would discount the part of Shimon's hoida that Reuven is moide is not true, but we would accept the part that Reuven says is possibly true. Because we have hoida clashing with another hoida, we have two hoida spaldins clashing with each other, so we cancel them out, and we say I'm going to have alvaraya. But on the part that Reuven is not being machish, and is not being moide, and not canceling out Shimon's hoida, on that part we would seemingly accept Shimon's hoida, and say that Shimon would be believed to be moide on that last unit that Reuven is not sure about. This is because B'chlal Masayimana, when Shimon admits that there were 10 extra units, so he's admitting there was 1 extra unit, 2 extra units, up till 10. If we take away part of his Eidah, we're still left with the 1. Just like by Edom, we say B'chlal Masayimana. If 2 Edom come and say that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, and another 2 Edom say, no, it was not $1,000, it was $100, there's no HaKosh, it's B'chlal Masayimana. We don't discount the idiots. Even if it's 1 against 1, according to some Tanoim, we don't discount the idiots. So, by Das Baldin, it's Pasha that we don't discount the idiots, because by Das Baldin, there's no din of Eidah Shabbat L'Mitzas, about L'Kula. So we would say, B'chal Masayimana, and we would accept the Das Baldin of the 1. However, there's another angle over here, because the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Ayin Aleph, that, let's say, a Loiva writes in the Shtar, that he trusts the Malva, that if the Malva says that he didn't pay, then the Malva will be believed more than Aden to say that, and not, let's say not more than Aden, let's say the Malva will be believed, against the Loiva to say that the Loiva paid. And then two Aden come along and say that you should know the Loiva at least paid half. So it says over there in the Shulchan Aruch that if the Malva is caught lying about anything, then the whole Nemanus that's written in the Shtar, that the Loiva trusted the Malva more than himself, that whole Nemanus goes away. Why? Because the Loiva only trusted the Malva because he thought that the Malva was trustworthy. Once it's been established in Bezdin by Edom that the Malva is not trustworthy, the Malva loses his Nemanus completely. So therefore, one could say that so too in the situation of Shlish. In the situation of Shlish, since the parties are giving this nemanus to the shlish, they're only giving it to the shlish because they deem the shlish to be a trustworthy person. Once Reuven admits that the shlish is not trustworthy, he admits that the shlish is lying about 9 out of 10 items, so the shlish would lose his nemanus also legabe the last item. The only thing is that one can perhaps draw a distinction between what we're saying over from Siman Ayin Aleph to this halacha. Why? Because in Siman Ayin Aleph, the Loiva is granting the Nemanus to the Malva. It's a one-way street. He's giving the Nemanus to the Malva, and the Malva is not giving him the Nemanus back. So in that case, we could say that there's an umdana that the Loiva would not have given the Nemanus to the Malva if he would have known that the Malva is untrustworthy about this thing. However, in a case where they both need the Nemanus, when they're both entering into a deal, which necessitates there to be an amonus of a shlish, because they're both trusting the shlish. So we say that even though it's the umdana that one of them wouldn't have wanted to trust the shlish in this case, but the other one maybe would have wanted to trust the shlish in this case because he doesn't really have a choice. They can't really do this business if they don't trust the shlish. So therefore, since it's a two-way street, each one, they're both trusting the shlish, we can't say there's an umdana that if I find that the shlish is lying about something, that I wouldn't trust them. But the other party might still want to trust them. In fact, in this case, Reuven would certainly want to trust the shlish for the one item that he's not sure about. Even though Shimon certainly would not want to trust the shlish in this case, because Shimon's saying, look, it's been established as far as anybody's concerned that the shlish is lying about the 9 items, and therefore I don't want to trust him about the 10th item either, because I wouldn't have trusted him if I would have known that he's a liar. But Reuven says, I do want to trust him. For me, it's a benefit to trust him for that one item. So I wouldn't necessarily withdraw my trust in him just because it turns out that he tried to help me out more. So therefore, since it's a two-way, it's a deal between two people, we say that umdana of one side of the deal won't affect the deal. If let's say you have Reuven sells something to Shimon for money, and there's an umdana that he wouldn't want to sell it if he would have known something. But we say that who cares if Reuven there's an umdana that Reuven wouldn't have wanted to sell. But Lamaisi is doing a deal with somebody else, and Shimon probably would want to sell. He doesn't have this umdana in his mind. So therefore, a one-sided umdana doesn't work in a deal that has two sides to it. When somebody gives the matana to somebody else, so then we could say that the one-sided umdana works. But in a case where there's a two-sided deal, there it makes sense to say that a one-sided umdana does not work. You could be mechalik because in the case of Malva and Aloiva also, we can say that it's a two-sided deal because the Malva is lending money to the Aloiva based on that nemanus. On the other hand, you could argue that the Malva didn't have to lie. So the Malva is not actually losing anything in this case because the Malva didn't have to lie. So that's a cheshbon that we can make. You have to know if there's a good comparison over here. And I wanted to add two other svaras why, in this case, Reuven will be able to take the payment for that one item from the employee without the employee consulting with Shimon. One svar is that besides for the nemanus of shlish, which is based on the nemanus that the parties give to the shlish, the shlish has another nemanus that says in Shulchan Aruch. In Siman Mem Vav, the Achronim say that besides the nemanus that the parties give to the shlish, there's a nemanus that the shlish has a migu. Since the shlish has control over the items that the parties gave to the shlish has a migu that he has the ability to go behind the backs of one of the parties and hand the item over to the other party. So therefore, if the shlish says that the halacha is that I'm supposed to give the item to that party, the shlish would have nemanus because since he's able to do it, he's believed to say that that's what should be done. It's called, this concept is known as a migu. It's biyadai or migu, whatever it is. The concept behind it is that there's no reason for him to lie. If it's not true what he's saying, he could have just done it without even having to come into Bezdin and lie about it. He could have just given the thing over to the person. So in this case also, since the employees have control over the checkbook, they have the ability to write out checks. So therefore, there's no reason for the employee to lie and say that there was an extra item over here. Why? Because he didn't have to lie about it. He could have just given Reuben a check. He didn't have to say anything. So since it's not necessary for him to lie in Bezdin, he has the nemanus of a migu, and therefore, even if we have an umdana that Shimon would not have given him nemanus, nevertheless, the employee would be neman because of migu. There's another svar over here, why Reuben will be able to accept payment. That is as follows. The Ramah discusses a case in Simon Reish Lamed Beis where you have a person buys something, a middleman buys something from, let's say, a guy or somebody else, and he buys a ring that seems to be made out of lead. And then he sells it to somebody else. Reuben is the middleman. He buys it from a guy, somebody, and then he goes and sells it to Shimon. Now Shimon, after he buys it, goes ahead and scrapes off the outside, and he finds that inside of the lead cover, there is gold. And Shimon's very excited. He found gold. He struck gold. And now Reuben says, well, maybe that gold belongs to me. So the Ramah Paskins over there, that Reuben has no claim to that gold. Why? Because since it was not Oymid, it was not likely for him to find that gold, therefore he never owned it in the first place. He had no idea that this ring that he's holding in his hand has gold inside of it. So he was never kind of the gold. He never got title to that gold because of the fact that he had no idea that he was holding it and it was not Oymid Lizbar, it was not likely that he would find out that he was actually in possession of that gold. So therefore, it's possible, in our case, we could say the following. Why are there extra items in the inventory in the warehouse? There's a number of possibilities. One possibility is that this human error took place over here. The employees didn't properly take inventory and take stock of what's going on in the warehouse, and they made some kind of mistake, and really, there's extra items over here that they knew about, but they didn't count. Another possibility is that these items came because of an error of the people making deliveries. People came with the delivery. Let's say they came with, they're supposed to be delivering 100 items, and Lamaise is one extra item that they didn't even know about. Why don't they know about it? Maybe they even got that item, and they didn't realize that they got it. Let's say the delivery came from the company. Let's say they're ordering from Best Buy. The extra item comes in the delivery, and they didn't realize that there was an extra thing over here. They knew they were supposed to get 100 things. It looked like 100. There was actually 101. If that's what happened, then all these six extra items are hefker. They don't belong to anybody because they're not only meant to be found. So therefore, the employees could be zeichen these items for themselves. They don't belong to the owner of the warehouse, because these items were never bought by him. Nobody ever realized that he's getting possession of these items, so he was never claimed to them. Because it's not Oymid Lekach. It wasn't Oymid Lekach that he would find out about these extra items in the inventory. So therefore, the employees have a right to be claimed to these items themselves. So since there's a possibility that these items belong to employees anyways, the employees would probably be able to give them to Reuben if they want to, just because of that possibility. So because you have these three svaras, why Reuben will be able to take it, I thought that the halacha should be that they should not have to go back and consult with Shimon. Lamaisa, they did end up going back and consulting with Shimon. I don't know what ended up happening. I don't know if the employees got fired. I don't know exactly what the maskana was.
The Daf Yomi audio series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the Center for Halacha Consultations, Service, Educational Seminars, or Media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you could email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.